Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Corbett Report. I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. You are tuned into Solutions Watch, and yes, I am rocking the new Corbett Report toque today, and that is not a fashion decision, although this is extremely fashionable, and it's not simply to remind you that you have to get yours while supplies last, although it is that too. It is because it's genuinely cold, rainy, and miserable here in Japan right now, and I'm waiting for spring to arrive, so I have to keep warm while I'm doing so. But you're not here for that. You are here for solutions. And boy, do we have some solutions for you today, specifically on the subject of decentralized communications, which you will recall that I talked about last year on Solutions Watch and featured a number of different platforms, networks, protocols, digital infrastructure projects that were coming online at that time to help facilitate uncensorable or at least censorship-resistant communications online, one of which, you will recall, was the Qwrtle project. And you'll recall that Jason Crow gave a little presentation about Qwrtle at that time. Well, as it turns out, over the Christmas break, I received a very nice Christmas holiday present from one listener who you will know very well by now, hopefully, who took it upon himself to create a Corbett Report version, a version of the Corbett Report on Qwrtle. So, in order to understand what this means and how you can access this, let's bring him on. The guest I am referring to is Mike Swadek, who you will remember as a previous Corbett Report guest where we talked about agorist.market. If you don't remember that conversation, I'll link it in the show notes so you can go and refresh your memory with that. But let's bring him on to talk to him here today in Solutions Watch. Mike Swadek, thank you for coming on today.
Howdy, James. Pleasure. Look forward to sharing with everybody.
I'm looking forward to this too, but I guess we should sort of set the table to because not everyone saw my decentralized communications Solutions Watch last year, or not everyone will remember it. So perhaps we need to start by talking about Qwrtle a little bit. What are we talking about when we talk about Qwrtle? What does it mean to put the Corbett Report on Qwrtle?
Okay, Qwrtle is a highly decentralized, to the point of being what's called distributed, where it's decentralized down to the individual communications and other platform. It's a platform. It's not a program. It's like an operating system almost. And within Qwrtle, you have a user interface, which allows you to interact with the program. And then within that user interface, there are a whole lot of different programs called QApps. And this is all done directly between you and the nodes that your machine is connected to. There are no servers. There's nobody in the middle. There's nobody scooping up information and data and stuff in case maybe one day they might be able to decrypt it. All of that's gone. There's no corporations. There's no owners. There's nobody in charge. It is truly totally decentralized to the max, which has been the intent from the beginning, according
now,
to Jason.
I have to stop you here because there will always be some galaxy brain in the crowd who goes, well, actually, you'll need the internet in order to access this at all, so it's not really decentralized. What do you say to that, Mike?
Well, we got an answer for that, too. It's called Reticulum, R-E-T-I-C-U-L-U-M, and it is a radio communications protocol. And it was designed to work with long-range radio, low-raw radio communications. However, it can also be applied to things like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and satellite communications. And by using Reticulum, you don't use an internet service provider. You don't use the internet trunk lines and stuff. You are truly free of all that, unless they turn off your electricity or something. Or,
you know. Well, that will be the next thing that people say. Well, actually, when the power goes out, you'll never be able to access this technology. Well, you're right. In the event of a total apocalypse in which there is no electricity left on the planet, you probably won't be able to use electronic communications. That might be the last problem you have to deal with. But anyway, you got us there. But those actuallys aside, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. You mentioned the QApps. Can you tell us a little bit about what QApps are available right now for people to use?
Okay, there are a ton of them. And let's see. Before I get into that, I just wanted to point out that, you know, Qwrtle will run on Windows, it'll run on Linux, it'll run on Apple. It's runs on Raspberry Pi, and there's work going on right now to develop a light node for use on things like Android phones and stuff. So, you know, it's there, and I've got a presentation that I'm going to go through, I think, but I'll first have to figure out how to share my screen because I didn't learn that already here. But yeah, the apps are great. The first one that I really like to tell people about is QMail. It's email, basically, but within the Qortal environment. So you can email back and forth to people in Qortal, but not outside of Qortal. But the beauty of it is each message is hashed and chunked up into bits and pieces, and then each bit and piece is sent individually through the network along different paths, so there's no way all this stuff can be gathered. And then when it arrives on the other end, the receiver, their Qortal node has to reassemble it or build it is what they call it, and then the message can be viewed. And it's not rebuilt until you actually view it. So if you haven't looked at the message yet, nobody else can look at it on your machine without your password.
So is that a type of encryption that's going on there?
Yes. It's within the Qortal environment, there's a tendency to not use the same words everybody else uses. But hashing is essentially encrypting. And you'll run into others too. That's kind of trying to break away from the old, like, smart contracts. Qortal world, that's not what they're called. They're called automated transactions because what they really are, they're a little program. There's nothing smart about them. There are no smart contracts, really. They're just all programs out there.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, So QMail, it's great. It also has the ability to mail to many people at once, groups. It's called threads. In order to get into a thread, you have to be invited and you have to be accepted. So you can have an exclusive list. You could charge a fee to be part of that list. So I know that might be of interest to you. But yeah, QMail is where I start with because I know that good, trustworthy, can't hack it email is really hard to find, and it's here. We have it. So let's see. Going on forward, we've got QTube. QTube is the YouTube or GooTube killer, basically. It's a great app. In fact, all of the videos that we're going to be looking at a little bit later are on QTube. And QTube can be used like a media server. So if you're a web a podcaster like yourself, you're possibly spending or could be spending a lot of money on web hosting for your media. Media serving is a thing. And not only that, media serving can be a real problem because those have been blocked or turned off before. So it's a weakness. So with QTube, you eliminate all of that. The QTubes are searchable by user, by the publisher's name or username, by text, by category. There are playlists and then there are individual videos. And it's just a really amazing platform. And it's still been going through some improvements recently. And, you know, I'm just amazed. It's a great app. And once it has all of its improvements, then there's going to be a audio version of it. So that long audios like documentaries and books and things like that can be put in a just like a QTube. It'll be just like the QTube environment, just say audio instead of video, and you got it. And that's going to be an amazing tool, and that's what all of your audios are going to end up being. There's QShare, where you can share files. The file sharing can be anything. It can be an image. It can be some media or a PDF or whatever. And all of them have their own unique link, so you can link to them. So if you have a website or whatever and you want to share some file, that's how you do it. So it's another media server. There's Q Bookstore, and Q Bookstore is basically just PDFs you can download that have been posted by either the author or somebody else. In some cases, when the author posts a book or something on Q Bookstore, they could even charge a fee for it. There's a lot of information there about the book. Those books are searchable by title, and there are ongoing improvements going on with QShare now today. But it's already a great app. I really like QShare a lot. There is one audio Q app already on the platform called Earbump, and it's designed to be a Pandora killer. You know, it's to play music, but it's not really made for longer things like documentaries and stuff. But for music, it's great. And there's a lot of music out there. You can make your own libraries. You can publish playlists. It's a nice app, just a clean, simple little music player. There's also a thing called QFund. And QFund is your give, send, go killer, you know, because QFund exists completely within Cordal. And, you know, it can't be stopped. It can't be confiscated. You know, it's there whether they, them, those want it to be or not. So if you want to make a donation to something, you can do it there. You can donate a quart. And once the quart is donated, quart is a transparent blockchain. So you can actually watch to see what happens with the money that you gave. If you want to make sure that nobody knows it was you that gave the money, when you create an account, you can then put some pirate chain, RIRRR, and that is really probably the most private cryptocurrency there is out there. It's encrypted with ZK snarks. It's far more private than Monero, for example. So if you fund your account with R, nobody knows where that account got its funding from. And then within the DEX, or distributed exchange, that exists within Cordal, you can then trade that R for quart. But this is quart that has no history. It has no traceability. It just appeared out of nothingness. And now you can go ahead and donate to your cause and Q Fund that you want to, and nobody knows where it is. Now, Q Fund, or where it came from, Q Fund is a pretty new program. Also, it's still, a lot of these programs are still being improved, but it's reached the point of being very usable. The focus in Cordal all along has been user friendliness, and you know, that has very much impressed me. A lot of times when you're dealing with these projects, the tech folks just don't understand why you don't get it. Instead of taking that approach, the Cordal folks say, well, you didn't understand. I must have done something wrong. And that's the way to look at it. And they do that, and it's reflected throughout the program, or all the Q apps. Now, you will notice that there's not a lot of rouge and lipstick that's been applied to these programs and the Cordal environment yet. And I'm sure that'll happen eventually, but you know, it's going to take somebody who's the sort of person that can do a whole lot with a little bit of makeup, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, it ain't Facebook and it ain't Google, but if you're looking for a Facebook or a Google type interface, why are you looking for Cordal anyway? This is clearly for people who were rejecting the big tech shine and gloss, right?
Yeah. And it's old school. You know, I mean, I've been around a while, and when I first started with programs and stuff, they all looked like this. So for me, it's not a big deal, but it's very intuitive. I've not found, you know, any real problems I couldn't figure out or get help with, because Cordal has a very active support team that works, and mostly volunteers, that are on Telegram. And then within Cordal, there's another Q app called QChat. And QChat is you join groups. And then once you're in that group, you get to see all the stuff that's posted in that group. And there's private groups, there's public groups. And there are groups for tech support for both the core of the program and then the Q apps and the user interface that are built on top of it. So there's lots of support. I've never had any trouble getting support, except maybe if I'm up at wee hours of the morning when nobody's up, except maybe you. let's see. And QChat is different from QMail in that anything you post on QChat disappears in a day. 24 hours later, it's gone. So if you have a conversation that you don't particularly want to save, or maybe you definitely don't want to save, then you have that over on QChat. And if it's a person-to-person messaging back and forth between you and the other person, it's hashed and chunked and sent individually and all that stuff, just like QMail. So you could almost say it's a lot like QMail, except that it's volatile. It disappears after a day. In QMail, the messages are permanent. The group messages are permanent, and it it's just a minor but important difference.
Now, I don't know. Yeah, that sounds scary. That sounds like you might be able to, I don't know, have free speech with each other in such an environment. Watch out.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. You know, I've had this dream for a long time of finally reaching the point where I could communicate freely with anybody, anywhere. I could be either public or I could be private. I can not worry about blocking and censoring and restrictions and fees and all the stuff that the tyrants are throwing at us, you know, to try and restrict our ability to communicate. It's all gone there. It's literally all gone. It's communications freedom and also purchasing freedom. I hadn't mentioned Q Shops yet. And Q Shops, you open a store, you list products, you put a price on them either in court or R, and then people buy the products from you. You ship them to them, they send you the court. Now, right now, it's kind of early days for Q Shop. And there's not a escrow set up for it yet. And there's discussions about that. So there is some requirement for buyers to trust sellers. Now, fortunately, there are reviews. You know, after you buy from somebody, you can put out a review. And after you accumulate some reviews, then now you've got some reputation. And then, you know, if you're known in the community, other people will kind of give you a thumbs up, you know, in the chats and elsewhere that, hey, this is a good store. I bought some stuff there and I like it, you know. But right now it's all about building reputation. And eventually we will have an escrow service there to kind of hold the payment until the products arrived.
But without a government to direct such a transaction, how could it ever possibly happen? Yeah, okay. Anyway, yeah, see exactly. eBay 25 years ago. Okay, yeah. Now that we've lost 99% of the audience, Mike, let's get to the meat and potatoes of this conversation. Can you publish a website on Cordal? That's the question.
Yes, you can, but it's different. Because Cordal uses HTML and JavaScript. And that's it. There's no WordPress publishing or anything like that. It's old school. It's kind of like when I started doing websites back in the mid-90s with a little twist. But it's not that hard, really. If you're familiar with websites, it's just like doing any other HTML website. And there's a lot of people out there like that. And for your website, you know, which is on WordPress, I kind of had to take some liberties to get things to kind of look the same, behave the same. And I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that. We've got the open source education is on there with all of the material in open source education, and that's under its own separate website, just like you have yours. And then under Corbett Report, we've got the complete, all the documentaries, all of the best of Corbett, which is now the Start Here button on the main page. And it's all there as far as the best of what you've produced. Now, that's about 10% of all your things you've done. And there's still about 90% left to go. And that part is going to be more of an archival operation. And that's going to require some coding and things that I'm not a coder. And then we're going to set up a search capability. And the search capability, because there's no servers, there's nothing in the middle, there's nothing out there to do the processing for you, your machine has to do the processing. It's client-side processing using JavaScript. So that's kind of different. But it's to the user, it doesn't really matter. You know, if you're a publisher, these things matter, but to the user, it doesn't matter. It's all, okay, I'm getting to see James' stuff. Now, one thing that's different is on the videos, instead of the video playing inside of a embed, it sends you out to QTube to that video. And then once you're at the video, you can either hit the backup button, go back to the web page, or you can just go down in the description. You'll find a link back to the web page. So there's two ways to get back to where you came from. And that makes it easy to get around. If it's a big, huge video, and yours don't tend to be big, huge videos. I've noticed you've done a good job of keeping your videos pretty small over the years, although I've compressed them a little more. They still look okay. So if the video takes a bit of time to download, you can just say, download this video and then go away and do something else and come back and see the video. So you don't have to wait. Some of your videos, like the documentaries that are multi-part videos, there you can select a playlist for that group of videos. And then when you start watching the first one, it's already downloading the second one. So it stays ahead of you. So they've done some pretty cool things to keep this thing where it flows. I know people are used to, you know, having the video stream as soon as you hit the play button. And that's just not the way Qortal works, because everything has to be hashed and chunked and sent in its various paths and arrive and get rebuilt. So you have to wait for the whole video to download before it can start.
So that people can get an idea of what we're talking about, is there a way that they can access this through their regular old web browser before they even get on Qortal?
Yes, they can. And the link is Qortal, that's Qortal dot link, and then a / Corbett Report, all one word. And if that doesn't work for you, you can use a different gateway, Qortal.name/Corbett Report. And that will take you to a full up working version of Qortal Report. Now, the limitations that you'll find are that when you go into the QTubes, you won't be able to comment and make donations. And all the QTubes, you can super like them, which is an opportunity to donate to the person who put the video up, and that's huge. And you know, so it's,
and that's those super likes, that's donating Qort.
Correct.
All right. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So let me, let, let me first encourage and invite everyone who's watching to at least check this out in your regular old web browser and just see what has been created. And then you can start getting into Qwrtle itself. Actually get into the Qwrtle network and start playing around, play with the Q apps, see what's happening there. It is a decentralized communication infrastructure. It's not simply a program or a protocol. It is an entire digital infrastructure that's being created. So it's an exciting project. And first of all, thank you for doing this. I didn't ask you to do this. You just took it upon yourself and did it. So I very, very much appreciate all the work that you did on this. And I want to, as with every Solutions Watch now, I want to ask people to pay forward their gratitude for all this work that you've done. And there's a very specific way I'd like to ask people to pay forward their gratitude for this. As you mentioned, people can super like in order to support the creator. In this case, I know that you initially suggested that you would be happy to send the Qwrt to me, but I want it to be reinvested back into Qwrtle and to develop these apps and to develop the community. So any super likes, any Qwrt, anything that people donate to Corbett Report on Qwrtle, I am asking you, Mike, to please direct this in a productive way to help develop the Qwrtle network. And I think you have some very specific suggestions and requests for any developers in the crowd to actually help out with this. How can people get involved and start helping out?
Okay. Any programmer, particularly programmers that are familiar with JavaScript, it's easier, but it's not hard to learn. But if you're a coder and you want to get involved in writing Q apps, writing programs in Qwrtle, this is like the Wild West. Nobody's there yet. Use your imagination, build your app, put it out there, and anybody can do that. But we have specific needs that we need for you. And the first one is somebody to create that JavaScript search capability that I mentioned earlier. Now, that's something that every website on Qwrtle needs. So that's a very important project. The other thing is the fork of Qtube. Now, the beauty of Qwrtle is all the programs are open source. You can go out and look at the code and play with the code and fork the code and create your own program from the code. And really, that's going to be maybe even a fairly simple task for somebody that's just cutting their teeth in the Qwrtle programming. And then we've got the website archiving, which is a different kind of thing where we're basically grabbing the information from your pages and putting them in pages there. But I've got all that laid out. You know, here's what needs to go, here's where the information's at. But I can't encourage coders enough to get involved in Qwrtle because it's a huge opportunity. All the podcasters out there are going to be needing people to put them on Qwrtle just the same way you're being put on Qwrtle. And I'm sure there's a market there. This is an opportunity for people to get in on the cutting edge of a new frontier, pioneer coders. That's what we're looking for. And we need as many as we can get. And it's fun. And there's also coding sessions available on Qtube. A fellow named Seth, Qwrtle Seth, has a bunch of those he's put on there. In fact, he just created a playlist that you can use to kind of take you through step by step. And so if you're already a coder, there's the playlist. And then also, if you want, you can join live with Seth. He does these things a few times a week. And it's easy to learn. And for those of you who just want to get out there and try something new, I just really can't encourage you enough. You can download the program from Qwrtle.org. And anything you need to know about it is at the wiki, which is wiki.qwrtle.org. So it's very well documented.
It is. And let's put it on the record for people who are looking for this. If you go to the Corbett Report website that you've published on Qwrtle, it's right up there, right under the home section, construction status and how coders can help, which will direct people to a page that shows them exactly what projects you're talking about here, the different things that need developing. So explicitly what developers can get involved with. And right. Mike, if I put this out there, if people contribute any Qwrt or any super likes or any donations whatsoever to the Corbett Report on Qwrtle, you can direct them as a bounty, as it were, for developers developing these projects?
Will do. Absolutely. And yeah, we'll get her done. I have no doubt we're going to get it done. It's just a matter of how long. And maybe after this episode, we'll see this solution gel much quicker.
Well, this is it. Like every Solutions Watch, it's up to the people out there to make it happen or not. So we'll see. We'll find out if it happens. At any rate, the idea is out there. And there's a lot of information to go through. You will be providing some more documentation that I will put in the show notes for people who want to get more information about this. I'll be linking up everything that we've talked about here so that people can get started with this. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to anyone out there who's listening to this conversation right now and thinking about the importance of decentralized communications?
Well, you really need to do it before it's too late. I guess that's the bottom line. I don't know when it's going to happen, but one of these days they're going to start turning things off for real. It's been a little bit here, a little bit there, but they can do a whole lot more, a whole lot more quickly. And when you get to the point where you have lost your ability to keep track of what's going on in the world and communicate with people, you're going to feel really out of water. And that's very important. Now, if anybody has questions about Cordal and want to get in touch about that, what we're going to do, I'm not a social networker. That's not my thing. I like playing with the programs, but I don't like, getting out there and doing that. But anyway, in the comments for this episode is where you can ask your questions about Cordal. And I've asked Jason Crow to participate in that because there's going to be questions I can't answer for sure. And we want to make sure everybody's covered. And another option, if anybody wants to just sit down and have a nice chat in person in real live meet space, you can come over and visit with me at the Mid-Continent Liberty Festival, which is going to be happening 10th through the 15th of April, approximately. People get there early, people stay late. And the website for that is midfest.info, or on Cordal, it's the website named Midfest. So replace Corbett Report with Midfest, and you're there. And it really would be good to get to visit with a lot of people in person, just sit down, have a nice long chat about Cordal.
Excellent. I will include that link as well so people can find out more about that and maybe get a chance to meet you in person. And for people who are interested, Corporate Report members, of course, can leave their questions for Mike and or Jason in the comment section at corporatereport.com/solutionswatch-Cordal, Q-O-R-T-A-L. So that will be the place to go. Let's see what we can get done here. And before we go, how about an update on agorist.market?
Okay, AgriStart Market has about 280 vendors now. Not a big steady stream, but, occasionally I'll get a new one. I actually had the first one taken off in quite some time the other day, so it's growing. It's not getting smaller, and it is getting some use. I talk to people who tell me, I've gotten sales there, and it's just an invitation service, basically. People get to meet, buyers meet sellers, and then they decide what they want to do on their own. This is not Silk Road, and I'm not going to get in the middle of transactions where I could get Silk Roaded. This is just an invitation service where everybody just meets and does their own thing.
Excellent. Well, I will invite people once again to check out our previous conversation about agorist.market if they're interested in learning more about that. And as I say, all of the references and links and show notes and the comments will be open at corporatereport.com, as well as, of course, this will be mirrored on the Corbett Report on Cordal, so people can check that out. Mike, I think there's a lot of information there, a lot for people to digest. I think we'll leave today's conversation there for today, but thank you once again for doing this.
You're welcome, James. Thanks a lot.